Detroit Lions.
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
There is a trade proposal involving the Detroit Lions that went viral yesterday from ESPN, not some, you know, low-rent operation. This is the four-letter network throwing out a real trade proposal involving our Detroit Lions. John, do you want to lay it out for people?
Yeah, and so there were four teams that they felt were at the top of the list to acquire the services of one Trey Hendrickson. It was in Indianapolis Colts, Buffalo Bills, Detroit Lions, and the Washington Commanders. They had the beat writers for all four teams put together a trade proposal. And I'm not going to go through what Washington and the Bills or the Colts put together, but for Detroit, it was the Bengals will receive a 2026 second-round pick. That's next year. A 2027 fourth-round pick the year after. And it can become a third-round pick with certain performance conditions.
Be sacks, playing time, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. And then the Lions obviously get Trey Hendrickson, and then they get a 2026 fifth-round pick. Out of the four picks that were put together, the beat writer for the Cincinnati Bengals was given the opportunity to pick which one they thought was best.
Did he pick us?
He picked the Lions.
Yes.
And by the way, the writer for, I just think it's a great, I don't know if it's a pen name or if it's his real name, Ben Baby.
I think that's his real name. I've heard that before.
That's awesome.
ESPN Cincinnati, yeah. Bengal writer. Yeah.
Yeah. Ben Baby. Anyway, he picks the Detroit Lions offer. And then in the qualifier, it says it would require that they give him an extension.
That's where the sticking point is.
Yeah. And the sticking point is 3 years, $90 million. Okay. I don't think that's a sticking point for the Lions. I think that's a sticking point for Trey Hendrickson.
But is he going to reach a point where the harsh reality of the market is you're over 30, you might not have the leverage you want. Do you want to play football next year and get some guarantees?
Well, this is why he is going through this process right now. Is the last 2 years, who has had the most sacks in the NFL? Trey Hendrickson. I'll speed that up for you.
I was like, Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, TJ Watt. No, it's Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, Trey Hendrickson. And so, yeah, I think he's got a heightened awareness that Father Time is not going to be kind to him at some point. So go and get your money now. 3 years and $30 million a year, I don't think is going to get it done. So the question then is, would you do this if Trey Hendrickson were to say, I just want out of Cincinnati. They haven't treated me right. I've given them some great years. I'll be willing to play my final year somewhere else, just not here.
He gets so fed up, he just says, I'll produce in a different uniform and re-rack next offseason as a true free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's even easier because now we don't have to worry about the cap games. I'd do this deal without an extension.
Okay, so I would too. But just to let you know, and everybody else know, it's a rental for a year.
I'm burning a second round pick, lighting it on fire, essentially, right?
Second and a fourth round pick.
Sure. Even if it's a second and a third, I'm chasing a Super Bowl. I mean, look, extending him would mean you're probably going to lose out on a couple young players in 27, like extensions you can't do. I'm also willing to do that as well.
And here's the other reason why you do it. We all know Frank Ragnow's not coming back. He's retired. All right. They went out yesterday and they signed Tristan Colon. Tristan Colon is part of the all body parts team.
Help you on the back end?
Yeah. Yes.
Who is this guy? I don't know anything about him.
So he played for Arizona last year. I think he's played for three different teams. Arizona was the last one and played in all the games last year. I think he started seven of them. He's got a couple of starts at center. So he's a guy, he is a really good depth piece. Okay. I don't mind the signing. It's just not, I don't think it's a guy that's going to come in and be a starter for you. Good depth, and that's the thing I had concern about was depth on the offensive line. I still think there's a couple of guys out there that they could go sign that would be better, Brandon Scherff being one of them. But if you're going into the season with not as good of an offensive line as you originally planned, you can't go out there and sign an offensive lineman because they're just all the best ones are taken at this time.
Mm-hmm.
You could go and make your defense elite. That's another route where if you don't have a top five offense like you had the last couple of years, which did not produce a Super Bowl.
Right. If you can't move the ball as effectively, you stall out a few more times, you'd like the defense to get you the ball back a couple extra times to offset that.
Maybe you still have a top 10 offense.
Sure.
And again, I'm not saying that they do going into the season with the Frank Ragnow, all that stuff, but you could by the end of the season be looking at a top 10 offense. If you had an elite defense, the ability with Trey Hendrickson on one side, Aiden Hutchinson on the other, to harass, terrify, and just murder opposing quarterbacks, to me, that if he's a rental for a year, so be it.
Yeah, because I'm of the belief that windows exist. And I think the Lions have more than a one-year window, but you start to get nervous if you look back and go, boy, we missed out with the NFC title game 17-point lead. Last year, they laid an egg in the home game. If this year the Ragnow thing destabilizes the line to the degree where they are good but not good enough to win the Super Bowl, that's three cracks at this. You get another crack in 26, but the point is, how many more years of Decker do you have? Is Glasgow here beyond this season as he ages in the middle of your O-line? How many cracks at this are you going to have before you have to re-rack the roster? I mean, look at the Eagles between Super Bowls. The rosters changed dramatically. Holmes could do it, but this crop might only have a couple more cracks at it. I don't like throwing those years away when you could make a move like this and put yourself in the you'd be the favorite to win the Super Bowl if they added Trey Hendrickson.
I would believe so.
Yeah.
So even without a top five offensive line.
Exactly. You can offset it.
And so that's going to be the big question is, will Trey Hendrickson, if this deal were to be consummated, will Trey Hendrickson play for 1 year under his current deal? If not, what does it take to extend him?
And if extending him means you can't extend a Brian Branch, if it means you can't extend a Sam Laporta, can't extend a J-Mo, you still willing to do it because it gives you a chance in the next two seasons to win a Super Bowl?
So we're getting into more chicken and egg conversations,
because
if you have the ability to pressure a quarterback like you believe you could with those two edges, then maybe you don't have to invest as much on the back end in a Brian Branch. Maybe you don't have to invest as much because you're shifting philosophies from elite offense to elite defense. And Sam Laporta, if you're going to be picking 32, do you think that you could get a quality tight end?
Of course.
At 32.
Of course, most of the great tight ends aren't first round tight ends. And we know Brad Holmes has done a good job finding guys outside of the first round. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bring it up because it's the real consequence. If you bring Hendrickson in and give him a multi-year extension, you're so much better today and in 26. But starting in 27 is where you may lose two or three really good young players.
Yeah.
If you're cool with it, and I am, but just understand that's the consequence to adding a Trey Hendrickson.
And the consequence could also be you do all of this and you're not able to, you know, extend some of those young players, and Trey Hendrickson, because he's old, gets hurt. Now you're back right where you started. And I mean, that's the risk. That's one of the risks. And we saw that risk come to fruition last year with Hutch.
Yeah. Texter says, guys, this all sounds so nice, but Holmes has already told us he doesn't understand why we would need two edge rushers. That's Kevin and St. Clair Shores. Can Trey Hendrickson play interior offensive line or quarterback? If not, I don't care, from an unnamed texter. Guys, I'd do it in a heartbeat. 3 years at $30 million. Any Lions fan who says no should be drug tested.
Yeah. Well, so that's the part of this. I think the draft compensation is probably spot on. I don't think that Trey Hendrickson is going to settle for 3 years, $30 million. I think it's going to be more like 3 years, somewhere between 35 and 40.
Yeah, but the key here would be the structure of the deal, as is the devil in all the details. Is it a three-year deal, or is there a void year and it's four? How much is guaranteed? Is it only the first 2 years that are guaranteed? Can they manipulate the cap and front load, back load, move money around and restructure? Like, that's going to be the game they play with all the deals they sign moving forward. Hendrickson would be no different.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't just be what you see when the announcement happens.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's obviously the devil's in the details. There's a lot that can go into, and I know Gator has kind of come up with this. He thinks that the salary cap is a bit of a myth.
Because
it is real, but there are ways that you can manipulate.
100%. It's 97.1.
Hi, Mike Stone's in for Gator. Stoney, how was your weekend?
My weekend was okay. Played horrible golf, but had an enjoyable time.
It's hard to do, to be horrible and have an enjoyable time. It's you get accustomed to struggles.
I know my limitations, so I don't get as pissed off. If I hit the ball well, even if it's like 30 yards left or right of where I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
It's when I, worm burn stuff, that's when I get upset.
It's amazing if you go through the end of a round of golf and you go, okay, if I didn't lose 5 golf balls, what your score would be, right?
Yeah,
We are on the road today. We are at Oakland Hills for the 5th annual Game Above Detroit Sports Commission Golf Classic. Doug Karsh, Mike Stone in for Gator. And no, Gator's not playing in this golf event. He is at the Rocket Mortgage. I guess it's just the Rocket Classic Media Day.
Yes.
Which is today. He'll have stories tomorrow. In the meantime, Tigers take 2 of 3 from Kansas City. We'll get back to them. Talked a bunch of Lions last hour with contract situations. Promised it. New Orleans, day 17. French Quarter escapee update. According to reports out of New Orleans, there is a belief that Antoine Massey, one of the finalists, has been spotted in Natchez, Mississippi.
Natchez, okay.
Natchez, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Do you know the first thing about Natchez, Mississippi?
I've heard of the city before, but I don't. What is it? Is that where you had your breakdown when you went?
No,
to the
that
Super
was
Bowl?
Sandersville. Mississippi.
Okay, at least I'm in the right state.
Sandersville was where the breakdown was. Then we went to, I believe it was Laurel, and had barbecue. But, yeah, that was my only time in Mississippi. That was a drive.
I don't know anything about Natchez.
Kang, you know anything about Natchez? Do you know anything about Mississippi?
Mississippi? No. I feel like I don't want to know anything about Mississippi. It feels like one of those places like true crime, always, Mississippi.
Well,
I do know that Antonio Massey is not a distant relative of former Lion cornerback Robert Massey.
Thank you for the update, Mike. And that's the value you bring. Much appreciated.
Yeah.
Okay, so Detroit Grand Prix. Over the weekend, big event here in Detroit. Interesting race. First of all, the backdrop makes it a fun watch. Racing through the streets of downtown Detroit, racing along the waterfront, a longer straight than the Indy 500 makes it fun to watch. The one thing that feels like it will always be an issue in Detroit, which doesn't impact us, is it's bumpy. And there was a scary moment late in the race. For people who missed it, Louis Foster, one of the drivers, out of nowhere, his suspension snapped. His right front suspension snapped. And because of that, his car veered towards a wall. He didn't hit it directly head on, kind of glanced off it, and eventually slammed in the back of Rosenquist's car and slid out of control but hit the tires. He was fine. Rosenquist was fine. But after he was out of the race, they interviewed him, and it felt like he stopped. He bit his tongue and just said, look, I don't know why the suspension snapped. It's ridiculously bumpy. And you were saying earlier about the Formula One.
When I moved here in 1986, they had the Grand Prix was Formula One in the streets of downtown Detroit. And it was just very frustrating as a young media person trying to do interviews and hearing these, like, Alain Prost, oh, the roads are so bumpy, it's so horrible, I mean, hate the theater, F you, go away. And they did, unfortunately.
Yeah, but we're sure we didn't want them to stay.
Right.
So we don't want to lose, but they just re-upped. That's the good news, right? There's 3-year deal has been struck, and Detroit is going to host this for 3 more years with an option for 3 more. Whatever they need to do, like in Vegas, they had somebody went over a hubcap that came out and damaged one of the cars.
Oh,
I'm sorry, a manhole cover, not a hubcap. They went over a manhole cover that popped up. So anyway, Kang, you say we have breaking news?
Yeah, big news, big news. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, was reporting 1 minute ago on Twitter, also known as X, Lions All-Pro and Pro Bowl center Frank Ragnow, one of the game's best, has informed the team he plans to retire. A stellar career comes to a close.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Well, that is out of left field.
All right, maybe we should give him a new contract. I'll give him a new contract. I'm cool for that.
I guess it had nothing to do with the contract.
You don't think this is...
No, when you say you're going to quit, it has nothing to do, I don't think, with a contract.
Wow.
I think just he doesn't want to have the crap beat out of him all the time.
Okay, that's a game changer. And obviously, bad news for the Lions, for the football product.
He walks away at age 29. Mike Garofalo says his absence was not about a contract situation. He walks away at age 29. Okay.
So... let me circle back to something that we talked about during last season. And Kang, I think you were the first to bring it up. You said, careful of this guy being around long term. It might not be something we can count on. And, you know, you start reading the tea leaves a little bit of what the player's been saying. I don't know if there's a way to sugarcoat this. This is a big loss.
Oh, it's huge.
This is a big loss for the Detroit Lions.
I mean, he's one of the best of the game. I mean, I don't know if it's going to, if you care about odds of Super Bowls and all that stuff, how it's going to shift. But it hurts them dramatically. Not only is the offensive line the best part of the football team, Frank Ragnow is one of the best centers in the league. Here's what Frank Ragnow had to say on Instagram. He says, these past couple of months have been very trying as I've come to the realization that my football journey is ending and I'm officially retiring from the National Football League. I've tried to convince myself that I'm feeling good, but I'm not. And it's time to prioritize my health and my family's future. I have given this team everything I have and I thought I had more to give, but the reality is I simply don't. I have to listen to my body, and this has been one of the hardest decisions of my life. The Lions organization has been absolutely incredible throughout this process, and I can't emphasize this enough, how grateful I am for this team and all the fans. It was an absolute honor going to battle for you all.
Wow. Well, now I'm super sad.
I know. I'm very sad.
This game's brutal, man. Yeah. It takes its toll. He's playing at such a high level. One would imagine if he could, he'd play.
Yeah. Man.
So now what?
Well.
I mean, it's never been better to be a Detroit Lion. It's got to be heartbreaking to step away at this time.
Yeah, for him, absolutely. But, you know, you hope he's completely healthy, obviously. He was worried about that, and I understand it. But I'm going to try to separate myself away from him and just look at the fan in me.
So
I'm not pissed at him. I'm pissed at the situation. This is awful. Now, is it the same as, you know, for this year as if he would have, you know, tore his ACL, you know, doing a drill, you know, at OTAs or something? Same thing. They're not going to have him this year. So... what goes in its place? I mean, wow. You know, Ratledge has played center a little bit, right? But he wasn't drafted to be a complete center. Glasgow's right now your center, right, as you go up the depth charts. I'm going to look to see about, you know, free agent centers out there. I'm sure there's not that many. There could be trades made. Wow, this is awful for the Lions.
So, Doug, when you alluded earlier when I kind of brought this up a couple years ago, that just, you know, be on the lookout, I went back and looked at why, and it was at the end of the 2023 season that he was doing their exit interviews, you know, in the locker room, things like that, and he told the media, like, he said it takes a toll on you. It really takes a toll on you. I need to figure out a way to get back to being Frank, and I don't regret any of this at all, but it weighs on you, so I really got to take some time and figure out everything to make sure I'm feeling good. That was at the end of the 2023 season. So ever since then, you're kind of on the lookout. But then he came back, of course, and he said, you know, yeah, he wants to do this. The body feels good. And I think last year he even said that, hey, my body's never really felt better. Of course, it's not going to be 100%, but he felt better. But at the end of every season, you know, you always reevaluate and how your body, you know, you don't know how your body's going to end up feeling, right? And apparently right now it doesn't sound like it's feeling the best, and he doesn't want to continue.
Wow, this is a big blow for the Detroit Lions. We've gone from talking about whether or not he wants an extension to Frank Ragnow walking away from the Detroit Lions, announcing his retirement moments ago. Now what for the Lions? 248-539-9797. People, your reaction to this. We will get to that next here on Carson Anderson. All right, if you're just joining us, breaking news at this hour, Frank Ragnow has announced his retirement from the Detroit Lions. Wow. Big blow for the Lions in the middle of their offensive line. Incredibly valuable player. He'll be tough to replace. Clearly, it's something that, you know, isn't completely out of the blue, because he's talked about how much injuries have taken their toll on his body. But that doesn't mean that the Lions were ready to have to replace him. I suspect there was some initial discussions with Frank that it's probably not completely out of left field.
Right.
But, Mike, this hurts.
Yeah, and I'm sure, I mean, I don't know if it's for a fact, that when Dan Campbell spoke to us in the media on Friday, he kind of had an idea that this was going to happen. This is not something that just happened over the weekend. Maybe he wanted more clarity, but yeah, it just, as a Lion fan, you're happy for Frank in one way, that he's getting out at age 29, healthy, and relatively healthy. But as a fan of this football team, it's just another, you know, it's not Barry leaving in the middle of, you know, or Calvin's deal. This sucks, though, as a fan. I mean, he is arguably one of your five most important people. And to have him leave is just, it's crushing. And we are fortunate right now to be joined right here at Oakland Hills by a former member of the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers on our very own TJ Lang. TJ, thanks for stopping in. And
didn't mean to put you to work today.
I know, but the news of Frank.
Yeah.
Shocking to you, or did you see this coming?
No, I mean, it seemed like all the reports the last couple of weeks have been about a contract dispute, right?
Yeah.
Which couldn't blame Frank for, you know, with the level of player he was. And
yeah.
Some guys making a lot more money than him. But no, this news is, yeah, I mean, I'm literally responding to it. I just found out 30 seconds ago.
Yeah, so I get it.
It is obviously rare to see at this time of year. I mean, this is normally a decision you see a little bit right after the season, right? Maybe a month or two after the season. I can't imagine the Lions are surprised by it.
No.
I think Frank has been very open and honest the last couple of years about the injuries that he's played through and how his body feels and just what a struggle it is just to wake up and feel good every day. He's been honest about that. So it's one of the toughest decisions that you have to make as a pro athlete, is knowing when to step away. And I think Frank has always been that type of guy that knew – you know, when the end was the end, you know, I'm not going to be one of those guys that tries to hang on and, you know,
right,
just to play a little bit longer and collect another check. So it stinks, man. It does. I mean, this is tough news, obviously, when it's one of your best players, and in my opinion, the best player at his position in the entire NFL. So,
right.
But, you know, at this point, it's got to support Frank in his decision. And I know Lions fans are might probably be upset about it, but
right,
this is a human being we're talking about,
right,
and he's been through a lot of pain.
I don't think we're upset, fans upset with him, at him, maybe upset at the timing, but upset that we're this really good team. Where do we go from here? I mean, is Glasgow your starting center right now?
Well, he has that versatility,
right,
to kick in. I think the things I've been hearing since OTA started last week, that Ratledge was taking a lot of center reps. And look, maybe this is something the Lions knew. I mean, obviously they drafted a couple guys at that interior offensive line spot. So, like I said, I can't imagine that this news is just coming out of the blue for them. I think this is something they've probably been preparing for. And, yeah, I think they do have versatility no matter what, how they want to fill that spot, by kicking Graham back inside or giving Tate Ratledge a bunch of reps here throughout the spring and summer and hopefully in training camp to see if he's going to be the type of guy. I don't know what type of players are still out there, any veteran guys that might still be in that free agent market that you might be able to give a Kevin Zeitler 1-year deal to come in and kind of patch that hole. But I do know they're going to be in good hands, obviously, with Dan Campbell and with Hank Fraley and the other guys that they have in that offensive line room, a lot of other leaders. Whoever's going to have to be thrown into that starting role is going to be expected to play at a high level, and they're going to be surrounded by a bunch of guys that are very, very good at what they do as well.
Can you give us examples of how tough it would be for a rookie to have to man that position on a team with Super Bowl aspirations? Like, this isn't a rebuild. This is team that's trying to win and win now.
Yeah, center is a tough position. You have to be the quarterback of that offensive line. And a lot of times it's your job to get up there, set the front, set the ID, right? We're going here, make sure everybody's on the same page. And that you might have 3-4 seconds to do that, right? And when you're a young player, you're thinking a lot about so many things, right? I'm thinking about my technique. I'm thinking about what my footwork has to be. And then you're thinking, okay, I've got to ID the right guys. I've got to read the rotation. Anything that it just comes at you super fast, and you have to process this in 10 seconds. And it's difficult to do at a young age. But the more reps you get, obviously, if Ratledge, hypothetically is going to be that guy, hopefully he gets a ton of reps here in OTAs and then mini camp and then in training camp. And that can sort of speed up the development process, I think, a little bit. So, but there's nothing like getting in live games where practice you get redos, right? Hey, yeah. Okay, let's do it again. Let's do this. You don't get that in games, right? And I think that's something you learn as a young player. So we'll have to see how the next couple weeks go. And obviously this could be a story we obviously are going to be watching all the way up until the season, yeah. Right? Who's going to kind of separate themselves at that spot? But I can't sugarcoat it. I mean, it's a huge loss. It's a huge loss. But I would say this, Doug, is the center is normally responsible for that. But with the offensive line that the Lions have with Decker and with Panay and with Graham, who's played a lot of reps, you can kind of put that onus on a lot of other guys. Okay, hey, Graham, or hey, Deck, or hey, Panay, you guys help set the front. You guys help set the protection. You guys be a little bit more vocal and kind of ID what we want to do on these plays. It doesn't always have to fall on the center. I think that it does on good teams because Frank is so good at doing it. It's just like, okay, there's a comfort in having a guy like that. That doesn't mean the other guys can't chip in as well, which is something they're going to have to probably do by committee until they figure out, who can slide into that spot.
And just to reiterate, Frank did a statement on Instagram, and I'll just read the end of it. He talks about his health, and he wanted to leave the game healthy. He says, the Lions organization has been absolutely incredible throughout this process. I can't emphasize this enough and how grateful I am for this team and its fans. It was an absolute honor going to battle for you all. So obviously, this has been an ongoing process with them, so this is no surprise to them.
No, and Frank is one of those guys that played a year with the kid. I know he was super young, but I know he's very transparent. And he's been transparent with the media, which normally if you're transparent with the media, you're going to be even more transparent with your coaches and with the organization. Yes. So I have to think that this probably doesn't blindside them. Just hopefully, they got the right pieces that can kind of step in there to pick up the slack a little bit, because we do all know the aspirations and the expectations that this team is going to have going into this season. So I'm proud of Frank, man. I mean, if this is really the end, and this doesn't seem like one of those, like, right, remember we Myles Garrett trade request, and then it turns out, oh, I just wanted more money. I don't think this is like, oh, I'm going to retire if you're not going to pay me more money. Frank's not that type of dude. So no. I think this was just, hey, let's get back to football over the summer. Let me start practicing a little bit. Let me truly see how I feel. Obviously, for him to make this massive decision at this point of the season, the guy's got to be going through a ton of pain. And, it sucks to see a really, really good player leave. But at the same time, you got to think about the person, and you got to think about, things bigger than the game. And for him to walk away, hopefully having or being eventually going to be able to have some health back intact, that's an incredibly tough decision. And if it's one that he thinks is right, I applaud him for it.
TJ, real quick for me before we let you go, did you see any drop off on his play? Like the injuries were starting to take their toll?
No, not really. I mean, obviously, the older you get, and what Frank is 7 years in, right? This would have been his 8th year, I want to say. No, I mean, just trying to think back to my own kind of path, and that 7th, 8th year is kind of where you feel like you start to hit your prime. And no, Frank, I mean, outside of what he would talk about and the injuries that he was playing through and the toe that seemed to linger forever and playing through the, fractured throat, You wouldn't be able to turn on the film and be like, oh, yeah, I could see the toes hindering him, which is a testament to him, which is a testament to how tough he is. And I got to see that, when he was a young player, and obviously watching and talking with him, throughout the last 5-6 years of his career, He never. But that's how he. That's how he is. He doesn't want people to let him. You know, let you know what he's feeling. Oh, poor me, man. I'm playing through all these injuries, and oh, I gave up a pressure, but he's got a bad foot. No, that wasn't Frank. He expected to play at a high level, and he did play at a high level. So I know I kind of went long on that, but no, I didn't really see any drop off with all the injuries that he's been playing through for multiple years now.
All right, tame the monster.
Yeah.
I'm going to try. I know Jimmy Powell, I'm mad at him right now. I wanted to play the North Course so I could ride around in a cart. He's got us playing the South Course. We got to walk, go, 18 miles out here today.
But isn't it? But if you so. Play Oakland Hills, that's the one you want to play.
No, it is. This is a beautiful place. I'm so glad they're having us. And obviously with Game Above, me being a part of them and being able to sponsor this, it's always a great tournament, so I'm excited.
You're the man. Thanks
all
for
right,
coming by.
See you guys.
Thank you very much.
TJ Lang, of course, contributor here on the station, part of the Lions Network. His thoughts on the breaking news, if you're just joining us. Lions center Frank Ragnow surprisingly announces his retirement moments ago. So, big blow for the football team, and long way to go here in terms of between now and the start of the season. But suddenly a lot of pressure on some young guys, front office. I mean, it does potentially free up some cap space.
Yeah.
This kind of deal where they go get a veteran? Do they use cap space to try and make a
Trey
strong
Anderson?
Move? Well, I mean, how much money was he scheduled to make? What was his cap hit?
His cap hit this year would have been $14 million.
Now, I don't know that you get all that back, right? You only get back the base salary.
Which is $9 million.
Yeah, but that's still $9 million.
Yeah.
So what direction do they go? We shall see. Again, thanks to TJ for the insight. It's Carson Anderson from the Oakland Hills 5th Annual Game Above Detroit Sports Commission Golf Classic. Stoney in for Anderson here on 97.1.
God, I hate that, man. All right. Are you good?
It's still funny every time you hear.
Far from it. When he's your starting quarterback, it's not funny.
3 o'clock. News of the day. Frank Ragnow retired. So if you listen to this show, that shouldn't be shocking because we've kind of hinted at that for a year. I thought it was going to happen last offseason, to be honest with you. And we've said it. It's why I always laughed when fans would, oh, you know, we got to pay all these people. I'm like, you realize Ragnow has like a 5% shot of being here in 26, right? Well, now he's not here in 25. He's gone. And we think it's a devastating blow. But Rico has the most interesting way of talking about it, which is, okay, do you still believe you are the prohibitive favorite for the division, a slight favorite, or has the horse left the barn? This thing's a free-for-all. And that's really, before you guys think, oh my God, you're big stupid Gloober, is Frank Ragnow an all-pro? Is he arguably the best center in football, yes or no? Yes. Okay, it's an offseason where you've lost your OC. Now you've lost the quarterback of your O-line. You have a brutal schedule. And you have no way to replace him effectively. Yes, they drafted Tate Ratledge in the second. Yes, he's taken a few reps with the first team at center. He's never played it. There is no realistic scenario where he walks in the door and plays football anywhere near representative of Frank Ragnow. So I'm with Rico in that, look, you could still win the division. I was worried about you before. I thought you were an 11-win team. I think this drops you to 10. And at 10-7, there's no guarantee you're winning this division. I think it's a free-for-all. And you will either prove or disprove whether you can handle this as you go along. But this idea, and we've had callers call in saying, oh my God, what is wrong with this fan base? People just going, well, Glasgow's going to slide off. Guys, I don't care what you do. You're already down an all-pro defensive tackle, and now you're down an all-pro center. And training camp hasn't even started. Mm-hmm. You better pray to God you don't hear the words non-contact injury. Because you're one injury away on that O-line. But no longer is it a top three O-line. That conversation is out the window. Mm-hmm. Now, it's just about how much can you retain of your status.
So right,
your offensive, I'm with you. I think this thing's wide open now.
Yeah, the offensive line was good enough that, you know, you could even have a little fun with Dan Skipper coming in, being eligible and all of that. Now you're looking at it like, man, you're relying a lot on rookies and second-year players and project players. Like, it's not the same.
Glasgow to center? Yeah. Ratledge at one, Mahogany at the other. Is that the way we go?
Yeah. I mean, you struck gold with Mahogany, and you're hoping that you can get the same with Ratledge. So that's what you're hoping for.
But what do you guys think? If you still think you're the prohibitive favorite, I don't think you're a bad person. But what we're not going to do is, they've got time to figure it out. There's nothing to figure out. You can't lose players like Frank Ragnow. Every team, if you're competing for a Super Bowl, you got 6 or 7 Ragnows. And those war daddies, those are the guys that have to stay healthy. Everybody else is filler. He's one of your 7. And he's gone. Mm-hmm. And it's in concert with McNeil, who's not going to play a majority of this season. So, yeah, I can't make fun of what Rico said. I'm not going to call Rico a hater. I don't think it's being negative. I think it's being realistic. And if we're 6-8 weeks into the year, and all of a sudden we have another revelation at center, we can recalibrate the conversation, but I don't think you can do it today. So I want to know where you guys are at with it. 248-539-9797. David,
ahead. Yeah, you're right. If somebody can all of a sudden step in there and take that center spot, the way we all thought gloom and doom for the Tigers in center field, oh my God, you're sticking Javi Baez out in center. And it kind of worked out for a little bit. Okay, you know what? Maybe this will work out for the Lions. But as of right here, right now, at 3:07 on a Monday, I don't think you're the clear-cut favorite for the NFC North. Go ahead, David.
Ragnow doing the Barry makes me sad. Wish he retired before the draft, my prediction goes from 11 to 12 wins to 10 wins. That is from Ryan. I always thought we would be 11-6, and I was happy with that. I'm officially very nervous about this season now. The Lions' window closed when they lost to the 49ers 2 years ago. Guys, it's over. Terrible news. Shocked and disappointed to hear Ragnow is retiring. I have a bad feeling about this for the Lions. We'll see what Brad cooks up. Love the show, fellas. Clayton in Dearborn.
Thank you, Clayton. David, real quick, to go back to that previous text, I still say the window didn't have to close, but the Lions didn't do what they needed to do to make sure that window stayed open. They just kind of sat back and said, oh, okay, we're just going to keep this thing going. And last year, they almost the success they had was a little bit of fool's gold, but it tricked them into thinking they were better than they were. And they didn't make the necessary changes to upgrade. Like, good teams are constantly tweaking and trying to find things. And it's not just about, well, we're just going to keep our own guys. So the window is closing, but it's closing because of your own arrogance. Go ahead.
Well, the window on the window thing, it's interesting. I think if you say it's closing, people overreact as if you said it's closed. No, I just feel you're never going to have a better opportunity than up 17 in San Francisco. And last year you thought, okay, we got the one seed. We're at home. Injuries be damned. We're at home and it's a rookie QB. And you had radio shows. Who do you want to see in the NFC title game? Well, one problem. You saw the coroner because your season was over.
Right.
But now, Rico, I don't.
And Mike, here's the thing about the window closing, and I can give it to you firsthand because you lost in the NFC championship game. I saw a team lose in overtime in the Super Bowl. Next year, injuries happen. They've now gutted the team, and they're almost doing a reboot. They didn't totally just get rid of everybody, but it's a reboot, and it happened within 2 seasons. That window shrunk for the Niners. And right now, it's down to really one more year.
And here's something that I think is important for people to understand. And I know. It's Rico and the Niners. But just, he's making a good point. They were doing that with a rookie QB. You do not have a rookie QB. Mm-hmm. Now, Goff's real contract takes him from 30 to 70 million next year. But what the Niners were doing was the cheat code.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could say, well, their window was 5 years with a rookie quarterback. You don't have that. Mm-hmm. So I've said anything beyond this year, I just don't consider the window.
Mm-hmm. But things change quickly. Injuries happen and season falls apart. And right now, you are probably 2 injuries away on that offensive line. And not season ending, horrible catastrophe, broken bone type of thing, but if all of a sudden one or two of those, the right people go down for 4 to 5 weeks, you're in trouble.
I think it's anyone. I mean, if we're being upfront about it, like, you've already lost an all pro at center. You're already not as good as last year.
I don't care if you lose Ratledge, Glasgow, you lose Mahogany. Dude, you're going to be who you putting out there. Forget about, I mean, obviously, any team in football loses a tackle, you know you got problems. But no, I think the division's already what we believe is the hardest division in football. I'd be lying to my listeners if I said I don't think it's wide open. I do. I don't think you're the favorite anymore. No. I don't think you're some huge underdog. It's like a horse race. There's four horses between 2-1 and 4-1. I mean, there is no favorite. They're all good.
To give you the numbers, real quick, Kenny, before Vegas is saying, as of now, you're still favorite, but the Lions are at, what, plus 150, Packers at plus 280, Vikings at plus 320, and the Bears at plus 470.
Kenny. I just worry about what the trickle-down effect to David Montgomery. Forget Jared Goff, because obviously that's the first and most important one, but to guys like David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, we're going to find out how good they actually are in this system with when you lose your center. That's tough.
248.
When you lose your all-pro center, that's tough.
248-539-9797. We'll get to your phone calls next. 97.1.
All right, John, we've heard the buzz for the upcoming Lions season.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it has centered around Jameson Williams. John Morton, the new OC earlier this offseason.
Breakout year.
And go, well, what do you mean breakout year? He had 1,000 yards last season. What more is there? And they're very confident there's more to unlock with JMO, to the point where Dan Campbell joined in on the chorus of praise. Huge season, sky's the limit, going to be big for us. John, again, what does that look like? Define a huge season, and what does he need to do to justify a long-term extension here in Detroit?
So some of these comments are, I think, are interesting as we have this conversation. You know, they're having that conversation as well. You know, pick up the fifth year. Okay, fine. Yeah, we got control of him for the next 2 years. He's only entering his fourth. And in a world where we are talking about Ragnow, Anzalone, Hutchinson, all of these guys that are up for contract extensions, we've touched on many times J-Mo's contract. Is he going to be here long term? What does breakout mean? When John Morton said that, we thought that. Now all of a sudden, Dan Campbell saying sky is the limit. He's right where we want him to be. He's going to be huge for this offense.
It's felt like he's the odd man out when it comes to guys that you're going to keep versus not going to keep. But if he puts together the season they keep talking about, so does that change the equation?
They're putting it out there. And some of the pressure is to put pressure on JMO. These are the expectations. I'm sure they've had these conversations with him. They had it in exit meetings. This is what we expect in the offseason. This is what we expect going into next year. Now they're publicly putting those expectations on him as well. If he lives up to those, first of all, what does that mean? But if he lives up to it where he is a dynamic receiver, a guy that you feel like you can't live without, then there's a world where they do extend him and they keep him along with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Cap's going to continue to go up. There's going to be opportunity for that to happen. Now, it will limit other things that they can do, but if he doesn't live up to and doesn't have the quote-unquote breakout year, it's not better than he had last year by a large margin. That's what breakout means. If he doesn't reach that limit in the sky that Dan Campbell has set,
then it's easier to part ways.
Publicly, yeah.
Yeah. So what is this year? Is it 1,500 yards? He has to be better than Amon-Ra St. Brown. He has to catch double-digit touchdowns. He has to lap Laporta to the point where Laporta's expendable. Like, what does it look like where he has the year they're talking about and says, I'm here long-term?
It's really hard to put those numbers on what that means because we really have no idea because there are so many weapons in this offense. There's only one football. And I asked you this at the break as we were preparing for this segment. Is this the most complete skill position roster in the NFL?
Yeah, we were trying to come up with names on the fly, and I said, yeah, I think it is. Unless I mean, I'm missing somebody.
You could make an argument somewhat for Philly.
Philly with Brown, Smith, Barkley.
Yeah. But
they don't have two backs. They don't have a tight end as good as Laporta.
Right. So if you've got Gibbs, who's going to get a lot of touches, and I expect to get more touches, not just handoff, but also some trick plays and in the air. David Montgomery, Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then throw in some of the other, you know, receivers in terms of Tim Patrick. We know he's going to get some touches. Isaac Tislah, who was Brett Holmes' favorite receiver in this draft. He'll get some touches. I look at it and go, how much more opportunity will J-Mo have?
So if I'm hearing you correctly, it's almost like they're setting him up to not get extended by putting the bar so high that he can't possibly, with all the other weapons in this offense, he can't possibly have the season that he needs to justify a long-term extension. So they're kind of saying, hey, we believe in you publicly. We're going to give you all the opportunity, knowing there's no way this guy's doing 1,500 yards in an offense with two real backs. Amon-Ra St. Right. Brown is a number one. And a Laporta guy who, by the way, I think could regain some of his rookie season form now that he's healthy. The answer is he's not going to earn a long-term extension. Is that the takeaway from this?
That's what it feels like. It feels like if he doesn't have that breakout season, if he is not he's not in the stratosphere, whatever that is for sky is the limit, then it's an easier letdown to trade him, to not extend him, to let him walk, because how many other offenses have two dynamic receivers?
And the Bengals just did it.
Yeah, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins.
But to what point now are they running into?
Right.
Yeah. They can't pay their edge rushers. Or they don't want to.
So that's, I think, the question that is going to be had is he going to be worth what they would eventually have to pay him? Or if setting this bar high and if he gets there, now you find a way for great players.
So let's play a scenario out. I think he would need to have more than 1,500 yards. Maybe St. Brown gets hurt for a couple games and it opens up the window. Maybe J-Mo has a couple big playoff games, right? That tends to hold a little more weight. What if he has a 200-yard playoff game to beat the Eagles? He has an end-around touchdown and he catches two balls of over 40 yards for scores. Are those the things where you go, shoot, we can't lose this guy. Sorry, Sam Laporta's not getting an extension. Brian Branch is not getting an extension. Are those conversations at that point?
Yeah, well, you look at the schedule, and you're going to be on the road playing some big-time teams, matching up offense versus offense. And I know there's going to be a lot of attention paid to defense and the edge opposite Aiden Hutchinson and trying to corral those quarterbacks. But if you're able to win shootouts because you have Jameson Williams, who opens up, who blows the top off of a defense, and then you're still getting the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown and Gibbs and Montgomery and Laporta and all these other guys. But if you come out of those with wins, and it is in large part because you have the ability to just blow the top off of a defense or stretch a defense sideline to sideline because you've got the speed of Jahmyr Gibbs as well as reverses and trick plays to J-Mo, that's where you start looking at it going, okay, well, we can't lose him.
248-539-9797. What does J-Mo need to do to justify an extension? You hear Dan Campbell say the sky is the limit and they expect a huge season from him. What does that look like and what does it need to be for him to be part of this beyond this year and the fifth year? 248-539-9797. The other thing you kind of alluded to, John, is the moving pieces, the puzzle pieces, the salary cap. Frank Ragnow is reportedly unhappy with his deal. Alex Anzalone, not practicing, unhappy with his deal. How big a deal is that?
It's not a big deal right now.
Because it's June?
Well, because it's early June. It's guys that are under contract. It's guys that are consummate professionals. And if they miss OTAs, might actually be an advantage for a guy like Frank Ragnow. It's not extra reps. But the disadvantage is he's not there next to Tate Ratledge. He's not there next to Christian Mahogany, making those calls, getting those reps, building that relationship that you got to have on that offensive line. But for him, it's not a big deal. He is tried and true.
Yeah, but it's a big deal if it lingers. It's a big deal if because they're both underpaid.
Yes.
Right. Specifically, Alex Anzalone is significantly underpaid, making $6 million this season. He could justifiably argue for twice that salary.
Right.
And he's not practicing right now. It would stand to reason he would sit out the ramp up to the season waiting for a contract extension. Now, Frank's situation's different. He's still top five in his position in terms of salary. He's got 2 years left on his deal. Frank, we'll talk to you in a year. I mean, guys don't get signed 2 years early unless they're on a rookie deal.
But part of his may not be more money. It might just be more guaranteed.
Okay.
It's not guaranteed this year. It's not guaranteed next year. So you can add a year. And so he's got 3 years. Or you can even add 2 years. So he's got 4 years, but you give him some more guaranteed money.
Kind of fake years.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be in a huge jump in pay because he's already accounting for a big chunk of, or at least for the center position, a chunk of the salary cap. This year, the cap hits $14 million. Next year, it's in essence $16 million.
Yeah.
So if you jump those numbers up a couple of million dollars, but it is guaranteed money. I think that's really where Frank's issue is. For Alex Anzalone, last year of his contract and grossly underpaid. So it's more money. For Frank, it may just simply be, hey, I want a couple more guarantees. I'm putting my body on the line. I played with a torn pec. I've been playing with this foot injury that even though I've been productive, I've been one of the best centers, it's extremely painful. I don't know how much longer I can do this, so I do want some guarantees in my contract if I'm going to keep putting my body through this.
I want to tiptoe around Mission Impossible style so I don't trip off the smarm alarm. This is why windows exist. Despite what Brad Holmes has publicly stated, this is why windows exist, because you have your current draft crop that you have to extend, and now you have veterans who have performed, delivered, and are leaders who don't like leaving money on the table. This is why there are windows. This whole group can't stay together forever, and tough decisions are coming, and they're going to get forced into tough decisions by veteran players who will say, I won't practice. We're chasing a Super Bowl. Are you really going to have me not out there?
And this is where if we talk about the culture that the organization has right now, the culture that is in the locker room. What type of a culture hit would it be if after this season, and they say, hey, Frank, you know what? We'll give you a little more guarantee this year, but we're going to have to make this decision next offseason. And then they move on from a player like Frank Ragnow. What does that do to the culture of the locker room?
Or your green dot linebacker on defense. I know Jack Campbell's waiting in the wings, but you have both right now, and you'd only have one after this season.
You can't keep everybody. I mean,
I know, that's the point.
But you don't. It's not windows, though, if you're good.
No, it's a window with this group. It's a window with this group.
The Chiefs, yeah, I know. Well,
and the next group is unknown. The next group's unknown. You can't tell me they already have the next group. We don't know that.
But the Chiefs did.
Okay, so we have Patrick Mahomes.
They traded Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
Okay? Kelsey's a dinosaur now.
Yes.
And they're still winning and getting to Super Bowls. You know, the Eagles, they retooled. Look how much different their team is. I mean, if you want to go back to the full Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, but even the one that made it 2 years ago.
But what
you
got
to be good at your job. Yes. You got to pick which ones to sign and which not. And Anzalone, I'm sorry. Guess what? You were the best of the first initial guys brought in here to change the culture. You came right from New Orleans with Campbell. You improved your play. I called him just a whatever linebacker a couple years ago. He has played well here, and I'll give him credit for that. But you got to say bye to some guys. It's a position that you say bye to. You don't pay that position. You already paid Barnes. You're going to have to pay Campbell. You drafted the guy to Campbell.
Yeah.
You know, you got Rodrigo, who still has shown signs of being able to play this game.
Yep.
So, sorry, if you want to threaten to hold out, I'll call your bluff. You're not Chris Jones, and you're not going to have that impact. This is where it gets ugly.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because right now it's no big deal. If it lingers into August, then it starts to get ugly. 248-539-9797. We have Campbell Audio talking about those two guys, by the way. We'll mix that in, plus what he said about J-Mo. Your ticket, text, and phone calls, it's 97.1.
Get to the Tigers coming up this hour. Still people reacting to the huge news yesterday. Frank Ragnow had stepped away. Few things we got on the table today. I mean, this is like an injury. This is another blow to what we thought would be a roster that was going to be poised for a Super Bowl run, but nothing is easy. Plans are made. Those plans almost never work out as you think. Diversions and surprises are pretty much standard operating procedure in the NFL. So on to the next thing. What's the next thing? Well, you're probably not going to find any, there's probably not accessibility to a center as good as Frank Ragnow is. So how do you make yourself as good as a football team? You get better somewhere else. You get better somewhere else. And maybe this inspires them to pull the trigger on that move, that win now move that they've been hesitant to make. Maybe they can use that cap space to say, go get Za'Darius Smith. Maybe it's, you know, who knows? Who knows what it is? I think they got to add a veteran presence. Guy I'd target is free agent guard Dalton Risner. who's last year gave up no sacks, no penalties, 537 snaps playing in the interior of the Minnesota Vikings offensive line. He's had some injury problems. He's only in his late 20s, but he's still out there on the market for some reason, and I'm sure there are issues, but he's an NFL Man of the Year candidate, which you don't get to become without being an elite locker room guy. Obviously, you do stuff off the field as well, and they value that stuff here. And I love the quote when he signed in Minnesota, whatever they need me to do, I'm there. Right tackle, right guard, center, tight end, wide receiver, you name it, I'm ready to rock. But, you know, there's other paths to trying to get back to where they were by getting better somewhere else. How do you do it? 248-539-9797. Other people think this is it, that this is the window's closed. They couldn't afford to lose a Frank Ragnow. All I got to say is think about it this way. They couldn't afford to lose Aiden Hutchinson and Lee McNeil and Derek Barnes and for a bunch of snaps, Anzalone. And like you go through the defense last year, Marcus Davenport and the starters that they lost, significant playing time. They couldn't afford to lose those guys.
Carlton Davis and Meek Robertson.
Yeah. If you get those guys back, but lose Frank Ragnow, if you get him back and you have some good luck with some injuries, where are you as a football team?
Well, I think they've been preparing for Frank Ragnow's retirement for, I think, the last couple of years. You just look at the draft. You pointed it out earlier. Last two drafts, they've drafted four offensive linemen that have versatility to play pretty much anywhere on the interior, with either guard position and obviously center. So maybe this happens a year earlier or 2 years earlier than they thought. But they have been preparing for this. Now we'll see how their evaluations are of these players, these college players that are now professionals for they're entering their second year or entering their rookie year. But they're going to get thrown in. It's going to be baptism by fire for a number of these guys.
Yep. And look, I thought they were good enough to win the Super Bowl the last 2 years. Didn't happen. Stuff happens. I mean, you know, you show up with great plans and a great roster, you can still lose a game. I mean, that's just the way it is. Do they still have a great chance to win a Super Bowl? Not as good as they did before the Ragnow news, but I'm relaxing a little bit knowing that we have the most competent management we've ever had here. And I want to see what they do. I don't think they're just going to go, "Oh well, what do you think we can get for Hutch?"
No, I don't think so.
248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback. Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Here is some of what people have said. Ragnow retiring paired with their Pro Bowl defensive tackle being hurt and the hard schedule is gloom and doom for me. I see them only winning 8 games this year. That's from Ray. Okay, Ray, I'll take the over.
I think people forget what happened to the defense last year. They forget it. Like, that was actually, it was trending to be a really good defense. Remember, the first few weeks of the season, we're talking about, wow, this is actually the best defense in the league and the best offense in the league. Mm-hmm. And then the injuries started to come and accumulate. And it was very harmful to this team's successes, what we were going to experience in the postseason. But in the regular season, they still managed to win the 15. Losing Ragnow sucks. It absolutely sucks. But go back and look at some of those games where Ragnow has missed over the last couple of years because of injury. And did the Lions offense suck in those games?
No.
Okay. So I'm not saying it's going to be easy to overcome. I don't think that's the case at all.
They're just probably not going to be as good.
Right. I think there's going to be an adjustment. And I think there's going to be an adjustment with this team regardless because you're having a new offensive coordinator that wants to do some things that are different than what Ben Johnson was doing.
I don't know, man. He said he's not going to do that much different. I mean, I'm sure there will be subtleties, but he made the comment, why would I change anything? I helped create this thing. I'm good about paraphrasing here. But
he also talked about wanting to throw the ball downfield more, which was not something that Ben Johnson did a ton of, but started to do a little bit more. But we'll see. Well, they're going to make adjustments. I don't think this is going to be devastating to the Lions. Because they've had to deal with this before. We've seen them go through this before.
I guess I'll play that side a little bit, Gator. I don't know if it's going to be necessarily devastating, but I think this is a huge blow. And not that you don't think this is a huge blow, right. But okay, so they dealt with injuries last year, right? We all know this. Hutchinson left the season, still leading the team in sacks. They never found a way to replace Hutchinson. I think you can kind of hide right defensive end or left defensive end. It's hard to hide starting Pro Bowl center. And especially with the two guys next, and one might be a rookie or a very young guy in Mahogany, and the other is a Graham Glasgow, or he's playing center, where he's been declining the last couple of years. This whole team's built on offense, and the offensive line runs that offense. Jared Goff, for him to throw deep or more deep balls this year, needs time. We all know he's not mobile. The running game works because they're so damn good at blocking up front. If you take away Frank Ragnow, I'm not full panic or anything like that. I still think they're one of the best teams in the league, but damn, the road just got a lot harder, and there's less guys you can afford to lose.
Well, they do. It would be nice to have them get healthy and stay healthy. And you know what's funny? How many times have I said, of course, when somebody else returns, then somebody else is going to get hurt. And I feel like we've already experienced that, in that they should be getting Hutch back. All the news is positive on Hutch, and then bam, Ragnow retires. John, you're next. Hi, John.
Hey, man. What's happening, guys?
How you doing?
It sucks that we lost Frank, yes, and it's going to be a change. But last year, they showed with the next man up, they did okay. They did fine when guys went down. And don't the Rams have, like, an extra surplus of centers? Maybe we can make a trade with them for something?
I'd have to take a look at it. I'm sure there are going to be teams out there. This is not like getting an edge rusher. Like, you know, most teams, you know, as Brad Holmes said, everybody's after great edge rushers. So I'd have to take a look at the Rams depth chart and see who might be out there. But I don't know. I'd have to see if the Rams have availability on this. Let me do a little digging. Gator, you know anything about it?
I do not.
Okay. Fair enough. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. More feedback to the Carson Anderson inbox. The Lions got older and less talented than last year. How everyone thinks his team will be better than last year is pure denial. Do you think how everyone thinks his team is be better than last year? Is your takeaway everyone thinks this team will be better than last year? This is something you're set. I need to text. Everyone thinks this team will be better than last year?
Prior to the Ragnow injury?
I don't know. Lions got older and less talented than last year. Okay, let me start with the premise. Are they less talented? Is Jameson Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, are those guys actually maybe still getting better? Is Brian Branch maybe still getting better? Is Jack Campbell maybe still getting better? Are they significantly older that there's a drop-off expected? Are they still actually pretty young?
The age on this team is exhibited by the center and the left tackle, Ragnow and Decker. And Ragnow is 29. And
yeah, they probably just got younger.
In a way. I mean, but if you're throwing...
If I'm taking Ragnow off.
Mixing Glasgow is older than Ragnow. No,
that's a good point.
But they're not... No, I that's a strange take.
Yeah, I'm... Sorry, they still have I just looked it up. They have the ninth youngest roster in the NFL. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. Now, I don't know anybody that thinks they're getting better. The question is, can they get back to where they were by getting better somewhere else? Because they do have some more cap space now. But until Frank sends in the paperwork to the league, I expect him to get that itch when training camp comes. That's from an unnamed texter. 248-539-9797. Get to some Tiger stuff today at 11:30. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. All right, so what, four games the last 2 years without Frank Ragnow?
For the last 3 years, starting in 2022, they missed a game in 2022 against the Commanders.
Yep.
And in that game, Lions won 36-27 at home. In that game, they ran for 191. They had 425 total yards in offense, and Goff threw for four touchdowns in that game. So they won that game.
Okay.
The next year, in 2023, he missed a couple of games during that season, and they beat the Raiders 26-14, in a game where the Lions ran for over 200 yards and Goff threw for, I think, 270 yards in that game. And then later in the season, they lost to the Bears at Chicago.
Without Frank Ragnow.
Without Frank Ragnow. They ran for over 140 yards, but Goff had a bad day, and Lions offense was not really very good, and they lost 28-13.
Okay.
Last year, they played one game without Frank Ragnow, I believe. Let me go back.
It was
one last year, two the year before, and then one the prior year. So it's okay. Four in the last 3 years. In the game last year that he didn't play, maybe you remember this game. It was against Seattle. Mm-hmm. The Lions won it 42-29 without Frank Ragnow. In that game, the Lions only ran for 116 yards, though they had three touchdowns. Jared Goff was 19 of 19 for 299 yards and three touchdowns in that game. He had the perfect game. Lions racked up 389 yards in offense. It didn't matter. They gave up 516 total yards and still won the game by double digits. They were able to get by without Frank Ragnow in the last 3 years. In those four games, they were 3-1 in those four games. And you saw the ability to run the ball or throw the ball without Frank. It's not ideal. I'd rather have Frank Ragnow. I'm just pointing out that, you know, as a matter of record, they won 3 out of 4 games without Frank in the starting lineup last year. Now you can talk about the competition, and that's fine. That's fair too. But the point is, they were able to put somebody else in at center and get away with it.
Well,
now they're going to have to do it long term because Frank's retired.
It's huge challenge for this management team. How they respond to this news. Feedback, Glasgow is clearly the center. No reason to put a new player or rookie at center on a Super Bowl caliber team. That's from an unnamed texter. If they feel that way, then they'll be fine, I guess. But I don't know that I don't know I feel that way. Do you think they should have re-signed Zeitler knowing Ragnow was going to retire?
No.
Well,
I don't, I mean...
This is one of those, they must not have, I don't know. Do you think they knew when they let Zeitler go, that Ragnow was possibly going to retire? It's a good question. I don't know.
I don't know. How good was Zeitler for him? He was fine.
Yeah.
But.
Next one is, I really like the idea of Ratledge at center. I would use the money for Za'Darius Smith and possibly Von Miller for some depth. Okay, both of them, huh? 248-539-9797. Let's go to Jeff in Detroit. You're next. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Great. Thank you.
Hey, I read an interesting statistic. Over the course of Frank the Tank's career, over 5,500 snaps, a total of 6 sacks allowed. That's nearly Hall of Fame type statistics, and we're going to feel it. Goff is going to feel it. We can look at the games that he was not there and say, well, they won anyhow, but I think we're going to feel it this year and next year for sure.
Well, I think there's definitely an adjustment period without question. There's no doubt about that, Jeff. You lose one of the best in the game, it's hard to replace that. They're going to find ways to still carry on and have the offense is still going to score lots of points. I suspect it won't be as good as it was last year, but it's still going to be good.
I agree they'll be good, but they will not put up the numbers that they put up in the past, and they're going to have to be better on defense to have anywhere near the season they had last year. This year, it's all possible.
Can they be better? Yeah, I was going to say, can they be better on defense simply by being healthier?
Yes, 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And now you can maybe bring in some more personnel to try and be better on defense. The formula is not going to be the same as it was. Last year, the pickings got so slim defensively, they were signing guys off the street and they were starting games. And they still managed to go 15-2. There's a lot that's right about the Lions organization right now. There's a lot. This is a challenge. Well, I mean, what's crazy is we could have, it's possible that maybe not the best Lions team in the last few years could still win the Super Bowl. And we went through teams that won the Super Bowl. If you look at, I don't think any of the last 7 Super Bowl winners, I went back 7 years, had 15 regular season wins. Most of them were four. Many with 11, 12, some with 14.
Well, here's what you're going to have starting the season.
Could be wrong on that, but but most Super Bowl teams don't have 15 regular season wins.
You're going to see three basically new players on the interior of that offensive line.
Well,
I mean, Glasgow is somebody we've seen for sure. Whether he plays center or guard, we'll find out. But Mahogany and Tate Ratledge are also in the mix. I imagine all three of those guys are going to be starters this upcoming season. The question is, what's the combination going to be at position-wise? Who's playing center?
Yep. And suddenly, I'm really glad they're playing an extra exhibition football game. I wanted more snaps for those guys, more chances for those guys to mess up and learn from their mess ups.
Yeah, there's that, and you know the joint practices that'll all help. I like the double tap of Ratledge and Frazier.
Yeah.
Looks a lot better with the draft choices.
Yep. 248-539-9797. Cliff in Detroit, you're on 97.1. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Appreciate getting my call.
Thank you, Cliff.
Naturally, we don't like the fact that he retired. It's a hurt.
Yep.
No two ways about it. However, our brain trust has delivered over and over again, and they're going to make some moves about this still yet. So while I'm regretful that my man retired, I still feel very confident that we will bounce and still be most in the mix for the Super Bowl.
Well, I want to see what they do. I want to see what Brad Holmes does. More cap flexibility now. You're probably not getting anywhere close to Frank Ragnow caliber at center, but can you get a very competent veteran to come in here? And I think they do need to get a veteran. I think they need more than just Graham Glasgow to battle for this position. I've already mentioned I'm a Dalton Risner guy. But if they could get better somewhere else, maybe they can get back to the level that they were. Because, you know, let's face it, last year's team defensively should automatically be better with the return of many of their starters.
That's correct. I'm with that. So they're going to naturally get better just by overcoming that horrific plague on the defense as far as getting better. But other than that, I feel that the brain trust, not just Brad, but you got Brad, you got Coach, you got Sheila, and don't forget Spielman. They're going to come up with something. I'm not even worried about it.
Hope you're right. I'm worried about it.
Yeah, I mean, I've got my concerns. I mean, you're losing an all-pro center, man.
I'm worried about it, but I'm not.
I'm also curious.
Yeah.
Because I think what they have in-house is going to be eventually down the road is going to be fine, but it's going to take time to get there. Will the be fine portion take place at the end of this season, or do you have to wait till next year or the year after to see that? I don't know.
Get to some Tiger stuff coming up. What a win yesterday. Pound the White Sox 13-1 at 11:35 here on 97.1 The Ticket.